We'll be covering the key congressional races, which will determine the balance of power in Congress. Plus, we'll look at gubernatorial races and ballot initiatives around the country. Join us to hear the voices of activists, analysts, and grassroots leaders discussing how the movements on the ground will go forward following these important midterm elections. Tune in right here, starting at 9 p.m. Eastern, that's 6 p.m. Pacific, on Tuesday, November 8th.
And that's tonight. That's coming up in just 3 hours. And you are listening to WUSB Stony Brook. It's time now for Off the Wall. No, we're not going to let the whole theme play, but we almost did. That would just ruin it, wouldn't it? All right, well, here we are. It's the big day. The big day is finally upon us. Election day, you know, if you've been watching the mass media, you're probably feeling like I'm feeling right now, which is kind of upset and dreading and all sorts of other things. And I think that's kind of the idea. I think that's kind of where they want you to be. Because when you think about it, when you think about all the things that you may have heard on CNN or various other mass media outlets, you have to ask yourself, well, how do they get these conclusions? I'll give you a headline. One headline that I saw on CNN. New York Democrats are bracing for stunning Election Day losses, and they already have a fall guy. That fall guy being Eric Adams, the mayor of New York City. So they know that there's going to be stunning Election Day losses, or at least they're implying that, and that there's going to be infighting afterwards. This is how they sell headlines. This is how they get people to basically catastrophize the whole thing. And it's, what's it based on? What are polls based on? All these polls we keep hearing about, you know, where somehow Democrats keep losing. I haven't answered their poll. I see plenty of phone calls coming into various phone lines that are unrecognized numbers. I don't pick those phone calls up ever. Nobody does. It's usually spam. It's usually something you don't want to deal with. So ask yourself, who is picking up those phones? Who is answering these questions? It's all based upon some kind of method that has been proven many times not to actually be accurate. So we go into this day thinking that it's going to be terrible when it doesn't have to be. It's not necessarily going to turn out that way. Maybe it will. But there's also a big maybe that it won't. I was at the polls earlier today. I've been at these polls every damn year I can remember. I've never had to wait. I've always gone right in and was out in 5 minutes. Today, it took over half an hour. This is more of a line than I saw in 2008 or 2020. So to me, that says something. And the other thing that says something to me is the number of young people that were in that line. That really made me feel like what I'm hearing on TV and in the print media, the mass media, might not be as accurate as they would like it to be. The important thing, though, is there is still time. Here in New York, many parts of the country, certainly if you're not on the East Coast, you have time to cast your ballot. I want to play something now from a comedian and somebody who really gets it. Someone from Georgia. Our hotline is ringing. Someone from Georgia named Corey Ryan Forrester. And basically, we've played this guy before. He has one of those Deep South accents that you would immediately assume means that he is conservative or fascist or whatever, which is very unfair. You can't judge people by their accents. You can't judge people by where they're from. You can only judge them by their words. And I'd like you to listen to his words. We had to cut a few of the words out, unfortunately, but I think this kind of says what I'm trying to say.
Y'all, we have some very important elections coming up in Georgia, and just like any time, I mean, all across the country, but obviously I'm here speaking on behalf of someone sitting in Georgia who has to deal with it. And as per usual, when Georgia has a big election, I am super nervous. I shouldn't be. When you look at the candidates, I shouldn't have to be worried. It should be very clear to everyone who the right candidate is, but often more importantly, who the wrong candidate is. There are so many wrong candidates. And I am sick and tired, for the record, of every single year it coming down to, well, you know, we've got to vote the opposite of this. But we do. But we do. It doesn't matter. I wish in one hand, in the other, Corey, see which one fills up fastest. I think we do have some great candidates out there, but it does seem to, at least recently, maybe it's been like this my whole life and I just didn't know, but it seems recently that, like, we don't even run for anything anymore. The only thing we campaign on is, hey, I'm not them. I would kill if one election cycle I genuinely thought to myself, actually, you know, I could see the merits of both of them, but not. It's become, it has become so obvious who the wrong, I'm trying not to curse because I'm having a baby. It's become so obvious who the wrong candidate is. And I know you're out there thinking to yourself, well, Corey, of course you want me to vote for the Democrats because you're a Democrat. I don't know what the fuck I am, to be honest with you. I genuinely don't. But I know that when I think about my morals and I think about what is right, yeah, I tend to at least vote for the opposite of Republicans in most senses, because I think that a woman has the right to choose. I think that gay people should be able to love whoever they want. I think that kids should stop being mowed down in their fucking schools. I also think that they should be taught actual facts and history as it was, and maybe not the Bible. I know somebody with my accent, that all sounds insane. And that's why I feel so goddamn alienated in this state half the time. But I know it's not just me. And Lord God, y'all, get out there and vote. Because again, I don't know if we got anybody in any race across the country who I think is going to be the next one, the next Obama or whatever. But I know that we've got plenty of people across the country that might be the next, leads us into another fucking January 6th insurrectionist piece of shit. I don't know what's necessarily right anymore, but I certainly know what's wrong. And I certainly know that you shouldn't be looking at this election going like, well, I'm a Republican, so I have to vote straight down the Republican line, or I'm a Democrat, I have to. No, you should look at it and go, what is fucking right and what is fucking wrong? Who are the tyrants? Who are the ones who are trying to take female autonomy away from them? Who are the ones who are encouraging children to fucking get guns, I guess? I mean, I'm not saying they're sitting there saying, hey, let's put a gun in every kid's hand, but the opposite of trying to deter gun violence in schools has to be that. I mean, fucking call it what you will. You're not trying to do anything about it, so in my opinion, you're fucking encouraging it. They're not going to stop it taking away gay rights. They hate the trans community. So yeah, I'm that. I'm the opposite of that, and that's who the fuck I'm voting for. Okay? So you're not settling and voting for a Democrat. You're just voting against fucking people who don't give a fuck about anybody except for the Koch brothers, Jeff Bezos, who are the sons of bitches with the pills from the show? Purdue Pharma, them motherfuckers. That's all they care about. They don't care about you. And in the event that neither of these parties give a fuck about you, well, I mean, at least vote for the one who has policies that will make it to where if you have a miscarriage, you won't possibly fucking die. The goddamn lunatics. So yeah, I'm not telling you to vote for a Democrat. I'm just telling you to vote for what you think is morally right. And hey, if that's stripping a woman of her rights and not letting gay people get married and encouraging hate speech, I guess that's your fucking morals. All right? But I ain't doing it. So, fuck Herschel. Fuck Marjorie Taylor Greene. This is the last I'm going to ever say on the subject, probably, because I'm sick of it. But I wanted to not be accused of not saying something before the election. So, here it is. Vote against the motherfuckers.
Wow, Corey Forrester, and words that are just so eloquently spoken. Yeah, we had to bleep a lot, but I think it doesn't take away any of the power. And, you know, if you think about it, if we weren't in such a screwed up state right now, we might never have heard this guy and the passion that he presents. There are so many good people out there in so many places. We have to cherish that and work with that no matter what happens, because that's still there. And I remain optimistic. You know, seeing all the young people today in line tells me that there is one hell of a reaction to what's been going on. Interesting that what we just heard, at one point, Corey says that he's not going to tell you how to vote. And I notice Democrats do that a lot. They say vote. They don't tell you who to vote for. They just say vote. You know, they want people to get out there and exercise their constitutional right to vote. The other side, though, they also say vote, but they won't accept the results if the vote is against them. You know, and they're a lot more adamant that you vote for their candidate or else something really bad is going to happen. Lee Zeldin, the gubernatorial candidate for the Republicans in New York, perfect example of that. With all of his, well, some of them are fake videos from other states, from other times, of violence in the streets, painting a picture of crime in New York when the crime rate in Florida is higher. But since that's run by Republicans, we don't talk about that. You know, lying, just outright lying and fear-mongering. That is their way. That is what they do. And as we've said before, it's effective. It works. People buy into it. People say the economy is the most important thing. Yeah, and I agree, the economy is important, but do you really think these guys are going to solve it? They haven't presented a plan. All they do is attack. All they do is say that, the economy is terrible and a Democrat's in charge, so therefore it's a Democrat's fault. Never mind that economies are bad throughout the entire planet. Never mind the fact that we just got through the COVID pandemic, which kind of messed up economies everywhere. All sorts of factors. You can't just point to one person and say it's his fault or it's her fault. And you certainly can't do that if you don't present a plan of your own, which I have not seen. So it's never as simple as they make it out to be. It's never as simple as it's portrayed in the mass media. This is off the wall. You know, I forgot to introduce the show. It's Emmanuel here. Kyle, over there.
Yes.
Welcome.
Hi, how's it going?
Pretty good. You got to witness the polling place, my local polling place, because you voted in a civilized way. You voted by mail. And that's how all the state of Washington works, which is awesome.
Well, yeah. Actually, the only time I've ever voted in person was in 2008 for former President Barack Obama.
Mm-hmm.
And I would do it all over again in a heartbeat. And I would never, ever forget that either, because I'd never cast a vote. I'd participated in the caucuses and that whole preliminary primary process.
Mm-hmm.
So I felt really good about physically going to my local polling place at the time and casting that ballot in the little cubicle and very firmly filling in that bubble. And what it meant, and just being there in that gym at, mm-hmm. at an elementary school, it was really, really crucial in a formative part of my political life. And then every single election after that, it was absentee, mail-in voting, no problem. And I've participated in every single one since. I've talked a lot on the air with you about moral issues, social issues, and political behaviors and attitudes, things we've noticed. And I don't regret being involved in that process. I will say that it is the work that people tell you it is.
Mm-hmm.
When you're an early, you know, early in your political, adulthood, new adulthood, or, if you're voting for the first time, you know, buckle up, because this is full contact, and you had better be ready to put forth a platform, to deconstruct the other party's platform, even when they don't have one. And this has been a different arena. I'm fully prepared, you know, to see parties working through legislative details and stuff, but we don't do that anymore. So we do this. And I mean, even then, after having gone through this, if we ever return to that, I will not have any trust in the other party, no matter what kind of bipartisanship ever happens, if ever. I feel like this, in the trajectory and the history of my political upbringing, has permanently stained my opinion of Republicans, a party I know intimately well through my upbringing, my family. Oh, I'm familiar. I know them.
You were born a Republican, weren't you?
I've got a couple extra pins if anybody needs an elephant, you know. Mm-hmm. But I get it. And, you know, I'll stay active however it goes with the process. But I guess what I'm saying is that that this has reached a low for me. Mm-hmm. But I don't feel like the process is, to be abandoned. I don't feel like it is so broken. I feel like it just needs more activity, more people taking it seriously, more people going out there and doing what they can, or nothing. You know, I don't give any money to any parties.
Me either.
Straight up.
Yeah.
The only thing they get is my vote.
Mm-hmm.
I'll sign up. They can email me. They can do whatever they want. But I don't give them a dime.
Mm-hmm.
I think money in politics is crazy. But it's not. That's my choice.
Right.
Other Democrats, other people will tell you, oh, it's critical. Oh, you're not funding.
Voting is the most important part of the process.
But you know what? I grew up stapling together political signs for Republicans. So
at gunpoint,
I've worked on campaigns. I've been the child labor.
I voted Republican in the past as well. Yeah. But because it was different. You say is very true.
I've also been rolling around seeing signs I put up get torn down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you're on the other side.
Right.
It hurts no matter what.
Of course.
That's why I say it's full contact. So whatever you can contribute, however you can be involved or not, or whatever you want to say, just hang on to your morals, your integrity.
Mm-hmm.
In and about elections and about politics and in your business and personal life. Stick to that. And share about it. But as you were pointing out, like, it's not a comfort, I think, for Democrats to be telling people that they should vote for this because the other side is inhuman or animal-like or, you know, unworthy of even existing. Because that's where they're at.
Mm-hmm.
We don't play quite that low. I mean, definitely, people are upset. Emotions are running very high because so much of this stuff falls on and cascades into our everyday lives. So, of course, it's critical to be involved in everything, but it's important to reflect the kind of politics that you espouse, even when it's tough. So, if that's how they want to play it, they want to be violent. They want to talk like that. That's who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And they can be all misunderstood about, you know, how well and how suited they are and how inferior the other side is. But that's in their head.
Yeah.
And I think we can't forget that. Even if we are nice and quiet and we want to play by all kinds of rules and norms, let's remember why, even when it's difficult.
Democrats need to learn how to fight back a little better, I think, because too much was said that wasn't countered. You know, things like accusing Democrats of being socialist and communist. Look, you talk to anybody who grew up in a socialist country or communist country and throw that line past them and see how they react, because I guarantee you this is nothing like what real socialism or real communism is. And I say that with a negative view towards those things, because most times it turns out negatively. Now, there are socialist aspects of societies in England and the Scandinavian countries that work very well. In fact, even in this country, things like, you know, fire departments and libraries and social security, things like that, they have elements of socialism in them. But the simplistic accusations that you see from Republicans pointing to anybody as a radical socialist, it's just absurd. I mean, you know, the most radical socialist we have in the mainstream is Bernie Sanders, and I would not call him a radical. he's very soft-spoken for the most part and makes a lot of sense. And I just don't see how anybody could see him as a danger to a civilized society at all. Now,
I think we should just switch. I mean, I might just switch up and say, yo, I'm a Republican. Get out. Get out of my party.
Okay, well, that's my next point, you know, is the Republican's image has been tainted. And, you know, the same logic, not every Republican is a fascist. Yes, that's true. But many of them seem to be right now because they're espousing fascistic, is that a word? Ideas.
Or not saying anything in the face of them.
Yeah, not standing up to Trump, purging the party. You know, Liz Cheney actually stands up for the truth, or at least trying to find out what the truth is. And she has to suffer for that. And so does anybody else in the party that, I mean, this is Stalinist is what this is. You talk about socialism. Wow. You know, everything that the Republicans are pointing the finger at Democrats about, they seem to do a better job of, you know, including things like cancel culture, you know, because, boy, Liz Cheney sure got canceled. And, you know, these purges, very socialist, very communist. So, you know, when the accusations are thrown the other way, maybe it's not accurate 100% of the time, but it certainly checks the boxes more often than not lately. So to your point, as far as what Republicans have done to their image, it might not be salvageable. And maybe there won't be a Republican Party in the future. Maybe there'll be something to replace them. I hope so. I hope there's something else. Democrats don't have all the answers. They're not the the way for everybody. Obviously, there need to be choices. You don't want one party in anything. But what Republicans have sunk to, you know, we can't have that be what defines our country. We have one candidate for the governor of Wisconsin saying if he wins, Democrats will never win again, and he means it, because the way they've structured things in that state with gerrymandering and all kinds of political maneuvers that technically are legal but are really, really horrible, one vote does not equal one vote. You know, a Republican vote means more than a Democrat vote, and it basically ensures that even with a minority, I think I heard 42%, they have a majority. I don't, you know, I can't even fathom how this works, but it does work. It does work. And it's scary to see them doing this. And it may very well be that it will be impossible for Democrats to win, even with a solid majority. And that's not right. That's, you know, you picture the nightmare of the Electoral College, where, you know, we've seen this happen a couple of times now in our lifetime, where somebody wins the popular vote, sometimes by a significant amount, yet they don't win the election. You know, imagine that on all different levels, where your vote really doesn't matter that much. It's sad. It really is.
Yeah, and also not a world we have to accept or live in. And I just think, as you're going through that, as my eyes glaze over and I'm, yes, nodding, of course, I hear, yeah, that's what they think they can do. I just think how bad and upset and awful characterization they make about the last president's administration, because uh-huh. Everything was so against them and they were so aggrieved and victimized by the mean old nasty Democrats. Well, if you thought that was bad, get ready, because if it doesn't go well, people will be upset.
I hope so. I hope people get upset, because, you know, if we have bad results, you can't just give up. And if you're being frustrated and cheated in various ways, you know, ways that you can prove, not just because you didn't win, but, you know, like what I said about Wisconsin, things like that, where not every vote is counted equally, where some places are completely not counted at all. That is something that you fight back on. So it's this is my main point here. If things go well, and Republicans are rebuked for the way they've been behaving. Think about the power of that. Think about the inspiration that we get as citizens from that. You know, that's what I'm hoping for, is that, you know, tomorrow is a day where we look back, or whenever we get around to counting all the votes, when we have all the totals, if there is a solid message being sent, that is inspiration. That is a path to a much better place. And again, that's what I'm hoping for. However, it could go the other way. We don't know. The fact is, we don't know here at WUSB. They don't know at CNN. The New York Times doesn't know. Nobody knows. Nobody knows until they count everything. But if it does go the other way, how we deal with that defines who we are, defines how the fight will continue into the future, defines what that future will be. So losing tonight, it's not the end by any stretch. In fact, for many people, it'll be the beginning. A lot of eyes will be opened. I know it's frustrating. I know it's something that we don't want. It feels like we've been doing this forever. But there have been many struggles in this world over time that have been at tremendous disadvantages. And the one thing I do notice is that justice does eventually arrive. You know, it's like a Suffolk County bus. You might not be there when you want it to be there, but eventually it shows up and gets you where you want to go. A little bit late, but you're there.
At the time and place of its choosing.
And it's blue, too.
Democracy will arrive. Yes. Indeed, indeed. And I'm not even saying about how the results and tallying go, that there's going to be unrest. That's the other side. That's last time. I'm talking about if there are concessions, the results are accepted, things go the way the polling has suggested, yeah, there's going to be loud, upset people at the kinds of policies that are wielded upon them. No different than the last administration. And that is in stark contrast, I think, to the people who do not accept the results of the election. If things don't go the way the pollsters have said, then what do we have? Well, I gotta tell you what, you're gonna have a lot of very vigilant people making sure that we don't have any kind of repeats of January 6th, because yeah, we're about fed up with that. We yeah, have this process. We are not doing that anymore.
We have to break for an announcement. Back in a second.
Hi, I'm Amy Goodman. Tune in November 8th for Democracy Now!'s live 3-hour midterm election night special. We'll be covering the key congressional races, which will determine the balance of power in Congress. Plus, we'll look at gubernatorial races and ballot initiatives around the country. Join us to hear the voices of activists, analysts, and grassroots leaders discussing how the movements on the ground will go forward following these important midterm elections. Tune in right here, starting at 9 p.m. Eastern, that's 6 p.m. Pacific, on Tuesday, November 8th.
That's right here on WUSB in Stony Brook. That's, you know, you'll probably be a lot saner listening to our coverage starting at 9 o'clock than tuning into the main cable networks or broadcast networks. I know I'll feel better listening to some sanity, but you know, I don't think 3 hours is going to be enough. It starts at 9, it goes until midnight. I don't think we're going to know everything by midnight for sure. So this might go for days. we'll just have to see. We have another message of sorts from a guy named Dan Harmon. You might know Dan Harmon as creator of Community, the TV show Community years ago, and also one of the co-creators of Rick and Morty. You might think that he is the voice of Rick or Morty. Actually, they're both voiced by the same person, but he's the voice of neither. But in this clip where he's talking about the onslaught of fascism in this country, he sounds like both, I think, but he's neither. This was actually recorded a couple of years ago, but I think it's relevant to what's going on today, and a bit emotional, too, so... These things tend to bring out emotions in people.
Yeah, the doctor is in.
Well, let's listen with an open mind.
Minority! We can beat them! We have to say, I'm not a Nazi, though! Two-thirds of the country just don't want to be political! It's not politics to say you're not a Nazi! It's like taking a shit! You just do it! Or you explode! You die if you don't, and you die if you don't say you're not a Nazi. Fascism is a fucking cancer. It will eat your country unless your country kills it. Here's what happens when you get cancer. Nothing good. Nothing. There is no way out of it. I'm your country's doctor. You've got cancer. You have fascism. You are going to suffer. You are going to fight. You are going to feel pain. You're not getting out of this. We have fascism. It is happening. We're fucking dead, maybe. Or maybe they're dead. That's about it. It's not a continuum. There's no gray area. It's not a fad. Fascism doesn't pop up and then recede when it finds out no one's into it. It doesn't respond to love. It doesn't respond to hate. It doesn't respond to ignoring it. It doesn't respond to timeouts. It doesn't respond to attention. It doesn't respond to lack of attention. You stab it. You cut it out. You bombard it with poison. Or you die. And in any case, you will probably die. Don't die talking to cancer. Don't die hanging out with it. Don't die arguing with it on Twitter. It's fucking fascism. Enough. Team up. Stop bitching about Bernie Sanders. I don't care what flavor you want your democracy to be. It's democracy versus motherfucking fascism.
Wow. Well, he's very impassioned about that, as we all should be. But I feel I should just mention a couple of points here. First of all, there is one part where he says, you die if you don't say you're not fascist. I don't think he was referring to people dying if they don't say they're not fascist. I think he's referring to nations that don't basically condemn fascist behavior. Those nations will die. They will eventually die if they don't come out against that.
Specifically democracy.
Mm-hmm. And also with regards to people getting cancer, you know, there's many people who have gotten cancer who have survived and who are doing well. I think the point he's making there is that, you know, it's something that you have to take care of. You can't ignore it. If you get cancer and you ignore it, you die. Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. But if you don't ignore it, if you fight it, it's not pleasant, but it's necessary. And that's the only way to survive. So I get that. And I applaud the sentiment. I really do.
Any further questions?
Boy, he's loud, though. I'll say that. We had to turn everything down.
Yeah, take two of these.
The windows were shaking.
Call me in the morning.
So, hopefully we've motivated you to vote. If you have not voted already, if you're here in New York, you have until 9 p.m. Go to your nearest poll. Well, go to the polling place that you're registered for. And of course, you can go to vote.org to look that up if you haven't done that already. But please hurry up, for God's sake. You might have a line, but as long as you're on the line before 9 o'clock, you will be fine. Other states, they're different. Some states close, or I think some states even close at 6. I don't know. Some states close at 7. Look up your state. We don't know all the states, obviously. But the important thing is that you register your vote, your opinion, your desire on which way this country moves forward. I've never seen an election like this, ever. I mean, there's no presidential election, you know, on the ballot here this year. This is a midterm election. Usually not that many people show up. What I saw today, wow. I don't know if my polling place is unique, but I've heard it from other people as well. A lot of lines, a lot of younger faces too, which is great because I get the sense that the younger people are more in tune with the threat we're facing now, with what happened with Roe versus Wade and the attacks on the trans community and the gay community and all that. And just the overall sense of history repeating itself, I sure hope that's what those young faces mean, that we're going to fight back.
And they're so fresh off of learning about why we've set it up the way we have and that they get to play a part in it. And I was just very heartened to see young people there, at least. I wasn't even sure, you can only guess, but maybe... maybe they were dragged there by their parents. I like to think maybe it was the other way around. They were dragging parents there. I don't know if they were old enough to vote or not. Doesn't matter. A lot of them maybe just, I think, were there to observe and see what it's like to vote and participate in your democracy. And I think that's just wonderful to see so that when it's their turn, they pick up the mantle and head right there, just like they've been taught so many other things by adults and
I didn't know you could bring your kid to the guardians. To the actual poll. I mean, where's the cutoff? I mean, if your kid's 21, can you still bring them?
If your child is older than 18, uh-huh. And I have a feeling a lot of them were quizzed about this, and if they're choosing not to go, I think that they're being corrected or at least implored to reconsider that choice.
I have not noticed locally voter intimidation. I've noticed a lot of obnoxiousness with the way signs are put up and torn down and things like that. That's the kind of thing you expect. But last week, Nassau County election board officials say the residents saw a Patriot group gathering inside an early voting location. Report of possible voter intimidation at an early voting site in Nassau County led police to increase patrols at all voting locations, and it's also prompting some concern about what today could bring. According to Nassau County Board of Elections Commissioner Jim Sherman, residents saw a Patriot group amassed inside the early voting location at Levittown Hall. The group left after a while, but residents felt intimidated by their presence. Now, you know, a lot of people on social media are mocking that, saying, oh, wow, you were intimidated by their presence. Boy, these snowflakes, they can't even handle. Look, you have a bunch of people. I don't know how they were identified as a Patriot group. Were they dressed in camouflage? The article doesn't really go into the details here. But if you have, you know, a group of people that are not voting, that are just amassed in a lobby where you're coming to vote, I mean, what are you supposed to get out of that? You know, it's just obviously they're there for intimidation. They weren't there to vote. You know, they weren't there for any other purpose. That kind of thing should not be allowed, right? I mean, I can't just waltz into any polling place I want and stare at people or bring, you know, 20 of my friends. Can I? Is that allowed? No, I don't think that's allowed.
They're not needed there. There are poll workers, and I think in a lot of places it's even taboo to have police, like uniform police. I know in some areas they're plainclothes police, so as not to seem as though there's some kind of authority there that might make someone feel uncomfortable. But in many cases, not even having, you know, regular police there is the norm. You trust the community, you trust the school, you know, their security and so forth, and the members in the community who have a vested interest in things running well. And they are an anomaly and should be shown the door. I don't think this should be allowed.
No.
There's signs in many of these polling places that say it's strictly 100 feet, you know, whether you say something or not, if you are not there to participate actively or you're waiting for a friend, you do not belong there. And to me, that basically is electioneering. Spoken or not, or whether it's explicit or not. And frankly, after 9 months of seeing land war in Ukraine, these guys don't scare me. Sorry.
Well, there are people that they do scare. Like a Levittown resident said he was waiting to vote Saturday at the Levittown Hall, saw a group of men wearing matching red sweatshirts emblazoned with Belmore Patriots. They were standing in the lobby of the building. One went and stood in a doorway to watch people vote for at least 20 minutes. You know, again, this was published on that online newspaper called The Patch, which seems to attract racists like crazy. You know, all kinds of mocking comments are posted about, oh, wow, you were afraid by somebody standing in a doorway for 20 minutes wearing a red sweatshirt. Yeah, well, you know, how about somebody dresses up in a blue sweatshirt and stands in your doorway and stares at you? You'd probably be upset by that, even though they're not doing anything. They're not touching you, but you don't want them there. You know, yeah, it's your house. It's not a polling place, but a polling place, you should have a degree of privacy and not have to feel like you're being watched or having your license plate photographed or your picture taken or just, you know, anything like that. It could just be standing staring. And staring can be very intimidating.
And there shouldn't be a double standard. If there were a bunch of leftists or Democrats there, fully black blocked out, standing with nunchucks, because they want to oversee the integrity of the election, they would be immediately labeled Antifa or leftists, terrorists, or whatever the heck they wanted to label them as. This should be absolutely no different.
And apparently these people have been going to train stations and yelling at people. So they have a history. People know who they are. And, you know, if you see, you know, it's electioneering as far as I'm concerned. If you're standing there with something saying you're a part of the Patriot group, I think we all know you're not liberal. You could be voting for blue down the line. So it's basically hanging a campaign sign.
No, liberals don't necessarily have to tell themselves what they are.
We don't need this, you know? I mean, if anyone felt the need to shout at people, I think it's, you know, folks on our side. But we don't do that because it's not right. Here's something else that's not right. Elon Musk, I guess I could start.
Oh, that homophobe.
I could stop the sentence right there. Okay, yeah, well, you can...
Straight up homophobe.
Are you just going to hurl out all the things he is because we'll take up the rest of the hour? Yeah, then.
He's straight up homophobic.
Well, he is basically encouraging independent-minded voters to vote Republican, which, you know, most social media companies don't say things like that, but Elon Musk, he's breaking new ground here. The reason, though, that he is doing this... is because he has been attacked by Democratic leaders. Yeah, he basically wants you to vote Republican out of spite. I support free speech, but not any one candidate. But given unprovoked attacks by leading Democrats against me and a very cold shoulder to Tesla and SpaceX, I intend to vote Republican. What a child. This is not why you vote a particular side, because somebody didn't talk to you in the right way or give you the respect you think you deserve. What an idiot. I guess he'll never get my vote. I mean, I'll never get his vote. But really, this is the reason, this is the logic? Not a word about the platforms, not a word about what they stand for. No, just the Democrats were mean to me, so vote Republican. And this guy's running Twitter now. My God.
It took a while for me to really see who this guy was. I've observed it for enough time and felt a certain unease. Just couldn't put my finger on it. I'm pretty much certain now. I get it. And I won't miss any of it.
In Texas, things are grimmer, as we might expect. This article in the New York Magazine, Austin has been invaded by Texas. The progressive paradise is over for some. They're fleeing to bluer pastures. Yeah, it seems there's an exodus of liberals in Austin fleeing the state. And it's because of a lot of the damage that has been done by Governor Abbott. And basically, they're saying, we can't do this anymore. We have to go somewhere else. While Austin is a great place, it's still in Texas. And I feel that, you know, I sympathize, but that's going to seal the fate of the state. Maybe it's time. Maybe it is time. But the way I always figured we'd fight back is by moving truckloads of people into these states and taking it over politically, because that's what they would do. And if you do it right, you can win politically. But I totally get why people would want to leave.
It is... It is happening in places like Arizona, uh-huh. Phoenix, hugely blue, parts of Texas. But basically, you know, I know some people that are teachers, relatives and stuff, and they've left Texas, left the state. And just, it never came up, I never asked, but imagine being a teacher in a place that is so... pro-gun and out of control, reckless with the way Republicans are talking down there. Ooh, mm-hmm. They're talking reckless. Ooh.
Well, I mean, you don't even need a license to have a handgun anymore.
Yeah, and talking about political, like being polar, like talking about Democrats the way they are, and now you have to go and teach those people's children, and God forbid one of them comes in there armed, like...
Yeah.
Why would you want to teach any of those kids?
And just the attacks on trans kids in Texas.
Oh, the harm to the trans community in the last like 5 years is immeasurable. Like there's been a lot of progress, and this has been full on like double, triple dose regression.
Yeah.
And again, a community that will be alienated and will never forgive these people.
As they shouldn't. They should never forgive
ever.
Them. But keep in mind, it's because of the progress that they're attacking so vehemently, because they're afraid of that. For whatever reason, they're afraid of.
It's death throes. These are death throes of a party. These are the last fits of generations of a bygone era. Bye. You're gone.
Yeah. And you know, it's sad because... It's basically spread by lies, and we've been talking about this for a number of months. Lies that kids are being altered surgically. This doesn't happen. These are lies. There's every, you know, late-term abortions. People are having abortions while they're giving birth. No, these things don't happen. They're lies. The crime rate in New York that Lee Zeldin keeps pushing, lies. So many lies, exaggerations, just complete mistruths. But people fall for it. All you have to do is do a little bit of investigating into trusted sources, not just anybody on the internet. And you can reach the logical conclusions that these people, they know the conclusions, but they choose not to share them because it doesn't suit their political interest. All right, we are down to our last minute. So again, we cannot stress this enough. Get out there and vote if you have not done so already. Hopefully the words we've said in this hour and previous hours have had some effect, but the important thing is that you vote your conscience and that you participate in this. You don't let somebody make decisions for you, and if you don't vote, that's exactly what you're doing. You can write to us, otw@2600.com, with your thoughts and feelings. And, of course, stay tuned to WUSB after Finn's show at 9 o'clock. We'll be airing some election coverage from Democracy Now! And next week, Kyle, I'm not sure what kind of mood we'll be in, but we're going to hold firm, though. We're going to be strong, and I know our listeners will be, and I know so many people in this country will be.
That's right. We'll be tuned, and we'll be seeing what's coming on every wavelength.
All right. And please, folks, just remember, no matter what happens, we're good. All right? We're strong. We're together. We'll get through this. And let's hope for the victories.
See ya.
Good night.
Try not to get worried. Try not to turn on to problems that upset you out. Don't you know everything's all right? Yes, everything's fine. And we want you to sleep well tonight. Let the world turn without you tonight. If we try, we'll get by, so forget all about us tonight.
Everything's alright, yes, everything's alright, yes.
Sleep and I shall soothe you, calm you and anoint you, Merthol your hot forehead out. Then you feel everything's alright, yes, everything's fine. And it's cool and the ointment sweet for the fire in your head. Close your eyes and relax, think of nothing tonight.
Everything's alright, yes, everything's alright, yes.
Come on, you fine ointment, brand new and expensive, could have been saved for the poor. Why has it been wasted? We could have raised maybe 300 silver pieces or more. People who are hungry,
turn without you tonight. If we try, we'll get by, so forget all about us tonight.
Everything's alright, yes, everything's alright, yes.
Surely you're not saying we have the resources to save the poor from their lot. There will be more always pathetically struggling. Look at the good things you've got. Think while you still have me, move while you still see me,
you'll be lost. You'll be so, so
Democracy Now!'s live 3-hour midterm election night special. We'll be covering the key congressional races, which will determine the balance of power in Congress. Plus, we'll look at gubernatorial races and ballot initiatives around the country. Join us to hear the voices of activists, analysts, and grassroots leaders discussing how the movements on the ground will go forward following these important midterm elections. Tune in right here, starting at 9 p.m. Eastern, that's 6 p.m. Pacific, on Tuesday, November 8th.
Yeah, and do that. I know I will be. And you're listening to Finn's Revolution on WUSB Stony Brook. It's a big night.